The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. And you may remember sometime last spring, we had Chase Rice on, one of the biggest stars in Nashville. And just an incredible conversation with him, talking about his days as a former University of North Carolina football player, his time in the pits for the Hendricks race team in NASCAR, and ultimately his breakthrough with a series of number one hits and climbing up the charts all across country music. He is back with us tonight, new record just out, and he has a new song that he's released, Drinking Beer, Talking God, Amen, with the Florida Georgia Line. Chase, it is great to welcome you back. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good. I'm at home. I've been at home almost all year, and that's never really ever happened. So I can't complain.
Yeah, I know you were, I think you were out on tour or about to be out. You were supposed to be out doing a stadium tour with Garth Brooks. Everybody in entertainment, outside of professional athletes and college athletes, are stuck. I mean, I know you write and I know you record, but what's it been like?
Yeah, it's, I won't sugarcoat it. It's been brutal. And it's been brutal for guys like me who are, I love being on the road. I love touring and that's my life and I'm not used to it, but financially, at least I can withstand it. For a lot of people in the music industry, they haven't been able to. So I've been trying to do as much as I possibly can, whether it's acoustic shows, whether it's these acoustic shows and full band shows that I've done from my farm in Tennessee, and just try to raise as much money as I possibly can for anybody in the music industry that can't pay their bills. I mean, there's literally people that can't pay their bills, so it's not been fun. And it's not been great for me creatively, because I need to see fans, I need to be on the road, and I need to do live music in order to be inspired. So it's certainly been a challenge, but that's what life's all about, man. It's never going to be blue skies, and you just got to keep going.
And Chase, you talked about it the last time, and it really tugged at a lot of people's hearts watching and listening. And I mean, not only do you have a band that backs you up and plays with you on tour, I mean, there's so many people that are connected. I don't think for those of us who are not normally out on the road with a country music star, I mean, you're talking about hundreds of jobs, and I know that you alluded to it indirectly, but what are those people doing right now?
So I have production managers working at Publix. I have my bass player still doing some stuff down on Broadway. Thank God Broadway's opened up a little bit enough to keep live music going down there at a smaller level than it was. But my monitor guy who controls all the sound that's in my ears on stage is doing real estate. So it's weird, man. My dad was around in 08 and he was a contractor, and that was not a good time to be a contractor. It was the worst time ever. And right now I would say for the entertainment industry, this is the worst time ever to be involved with it, as far as, you know, going on doing live shows, because we can't do it. I've been a pretty big advocate of letting us go play. That's what I believe this country's all about, man. Let the American people have their choice. You know, I've been around 35 years. You can't just tell us that 35 years were free and then all of a sudden now we don't have a choice. But I understand that there's a pandemic going on, and I don't try to stay away from that. But American people are smart people. Let them choose.
And I know that you've talked about it in the past and have tried to do stuff about it. But I mean, right now there are good signs on the horizon. Expectations toward the future, vaccine is on its way, but we're not done yet. And realistically, and I want to get to the music in a minute, but you know, what are people saying in terms of legitimately getting back on tour? When can we expect that?
I wouldn't expect arenas to be full until the earliest of From what I've heard, and I can't speak to it fully because I don't know, but I would say next fall. I don't think arenas will be full. Wow. I think you'll start seeing acoustic shows, and they're already happening, some acoustic shows. And there's a lot of shows happening that people just don't know about because people are afraid to talk about them because they're just afraid they're going to get shamed for doing those shows. And so we're going to shut up and sing until we're allowed to talk about it again. There's a lot of shows happening here and there. So you check it out, your favorite artist websites. They're going on. And the key to it all is give people the opportunity to feel safe. I mean, if you're packing stages and you're filling up places where people can't feel safe, that's not right, obviously. So give people the opportunity to feel safe and let them go listen to live music. But I don't think it's going to fully happen in big arenas and the way people with amphitheaters and stadiums like we've seen. I wouldn't say earliest till next fall, and that's just because of what I've been told.
Yeah, the front row at a Chase Rice concert is not exactly what I would call social distancing.
No, it should never be social distancing at a Chase Rice concert in the front row, except for obviously this year. I get it. The tough part is so many people have different thoughts about what's going on. And that's why I say in a real world, the front row should never be social distance. But this year, give people the choice. And if they want to stay in an area with a bunch of people, give them that option. And this has not happened yet this year, but that's what I'm going to hopefully push for next year, earlier into the year, and then give people the opportunity to feel safe and socially distance any way that they want. Because I get it, man. There's a sickness going around and people are scared of it. But there's a lot of people who aren't scared of it and choose to not live their life that way. And, you know, let them choose that as well if they so please.
Let's talk about your new music. I mentioned Drinking Beer, Talking God, Amen with Florida Georgia Line. They're not exactly newcomers to the charts. I know you've done compilations with other artists in the past. How did this one come about?
This one right here is 10 years in the making. I moved to Nashville in 2010, and we lived together. We just lived in a house. I grew up with Brian, the Florida part of Florida Georgia Line. We grew up playing Little League baseball, stuff like that. So, we literally grew up playing sports together. And then when I moved to town in 2010, I was a natural fit for me to just move in with my buddies. And I met Tyler, and we were those young guns running around town trying to get big-time songwriters to write with us. And nobody really would because we hadn't earned our stripes yet. And I'm a huge, huge fan of people earning what they have. And if you work for it eventually and you believe in it, and eventually I believe it will come. So that's what happened for us. We didn't get a chance to write with these big songwriters at first, so we had to go do it ourselves. And then the best thing that could have ever happened to us was Cruise in 2010, 2011. And we wrote that song together. They put it out, blew up. And then I had Ready, Set, Roll about a year later, and that was big for me. So, and then all of a sudden you have all the success and you split ways. And then all good things come back around. And me and Brian and Tyler have finally decided this is a perfect song to come back together and talk about. There's so much negative that's been talked about in 2020. Let's talk about some positive. And for me, sitting around a fire, hanging out with buddies, drinking beer, meeting new people, going deeper with old friends. That's a big part of this song, and I couldn't ask for a better group of guys to do it with than Brian and Tyler and Florida Georgia Line, and coming back together as friends as so many of us have this year, and I think that's a huge positive that a lot of us can take from this year.
Chase, I'm curious because, you know, writing, not that I've ever done it, but is about what you experience, what you're living through, and in terms of this year, Is it difficult to get past that? Because I mean, music lives forever. When you're working on new material now, what are you thinking about, and how are you composing?
It's been tough, to be honest. Like I said, the biggest, and I didn't know this before this year, but the biggest inspiration for me is live music and being able to see songs sung back to me, being able to see people swaying back and forth, celebrating, drinking, hanging out with friends, whatever they do. I've always loved that, but I didn't realize how much I loved it till this year. And when it all started at the beginning of the year and even into this fall, I struggled to come up with a reason to write a song. It's like, why would I? If I can't play it and sing it for people, what's my reason to write? And that actually came up with I wrote one of my like 8 songs that I've written this year, which is not a lot of songs for me during a year. One of them's called The Reason. We wrote one today. And I mean, it's so fresh in my mind, I can't even remember what the name of the song was today. So it's been so many downs as far as me finding inspiration. But what the coolest part about it is those downs always lead to an up. And in my life experience, all the worst and darkest times of my life have always led to some of the best days of my life. So I've got a ton of ideas that I've written in my phone. I just can't bring myself to write them. And this week, literally, I've written 2 songs. We're writing a third tomorrow. So I think it's about to be on for me into the winter and into the spring of writing music. And next year is going to be a lot of fun to sing.
And Chase, not bad for a guy that once was being talked about as a pretty realistic NFL prospect when you were playing in Chapel Hill. I know everybody has hopes and dreams of, but it seemed like it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I talk to my buddies all the time that played in the league. I don't know of too many guys that I played college ball with that are still playing in the league, which is why I'm like, okay, well, I'll take this career. I wanted to play in the NFL so bad. It was a dream I had since I was in middle school. And then all of a sudden you get a full scholarship to North Carolina. You play ball there, and you play at a really high level. And then all of a sudden you're supposed to be the guy. You're supposed to be one of the team leaders and the leader of the defense. And then that gets ripped away from you the first game. So dreams crash and burn. But like I said earlier, some of the darkest times of my life have led to the best things that have ever happened to me. I mean, I lost my dad at 22 years old, and then I ended up writing my very first song about him. So I'm sure that he's looking down, shaking his head at most of the things I've done, but he's got some good things that I've done in my life that he can smile about. And he led me to music, which is it's a tough thing that's not a fun deal to go through, but when it leads to brighter days, it's really all you can learn from in life, and that's all you can do in life is take the bads, turn them into positive, and that's what I've tried to do with music.
Chase, thank you for making time again. It's always a pleasure to visit. All the best on the new record, and I hope I'm one of those crazy. I may be the oldest guy, but I'll be one of those in the front row at the next Chase Rice concert. That you can do whatever you want. Hey, great to have you on, and come back soon.
Hey, Paul, me and my buddy Whitey have listened to you for quite a while. We love you, so thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
The pleasure is ours. Be well and all the best. Chase Rice joining us, just one of the biggest stars in Nashville with the new record out. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. Great to have everyone here. A couple of notes to pass along before we get back to callers. The SEC was now involved, had become involved with the Las Vegas Bowl, being one of the one of the teams. I think they were playing a Pac-12 game. That game has now been scrubbed for this year, according to ESPN, which runs the bowl out of its events division. So one less bowl game, as I expect there will be a few more go by the wayside as the bowl season, once enlarged, is slimming down quite a bit. And another interesting story, game day is supposed to be or scheduled to be at Coastal this week, where they were supposed to play Liberty. It was going to be one of the more interesting group of five games of the year. There are some COVID issues right now with Hugh Freeze's program. According to reports, his entire defensive staff has been in quarantine. There's another round of testing results yet to be determined. But if Liberty does not play Coastal on Saturday, it's Wednesday, by the way, apparently BYU is going to take that spot. BYU is desperate for some attention, trying to move up in the rankings. And that is a possibility based on a number of our friends out there reporting. It can't get any crazier, or maybe it can. Let's get back to the calls. And Bradley is in College Station. Hey, Bradley, go right ahead.
Hey, I was calling. So with the playoff being like set on their dates, we're playing January 1st and January 11th. Say the four teams that get in, if one of them runs into COVID issues, could they potentially look at using maybe Texas A&M at the five seed, or maybe whoever's at the six, Cincinnati, move up as an alternate team for that bowl game in the event that they don't play? Because I'm sure they want to play instead of forfeiting one of the playoff games.
I don't think so. Now, it, you know, some of it, it's dependent on, you know, timing, but I think once the schools, once the teams are picked, now remember, let's say Texas A&M is number five, then they will get another bowl game. Very likely, I don't know what the order is this year, but they'll get one of the bigger bowl games, you know, one of the New Year's Six games. So, you know, they'll already be somewhere else against an opponent. So I don't think that is going to happen. But it's I know that Bill Hancock, when he was with us, I believe last week, talked about that. I think the championship game would have some possible wiggle room in terms of moving, but I don't think you're going to be able to supplant the team that is in there, as long as it's reasonably close to the event, which it would be. It's you're not going to be out of the game 3 weeks out. Hey, thank you for the call, and it's a good question, by the way. I'll see if I can get a more.
What about for like the SEC?
What's that?
Like in the, what about for like the SEC championship game as well? So say Florida and Alabama are kind of locked right now as well. What could happen if?
Well, here's what's interesting. Right now, once that game is set, which will be after this weekend or pretty close to already being set, everyone else will have a game that next that same day. So I'm not sure what would happen in that case. I'd have to talk to the SEC office if they knew in advance what you could do. It really wouldn't matter from a playoff standpoint, but those are really interesting questions, because right now everything has been able to be moved or rescheduled, but you cannot reschedule the SEC championship game.
Exactly. No one's really talked about, like, we deal with the issues each week, but no one's really talking about what happens if COVID affects championship weekend and teams not being able to play in that or playing in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in the case of the playoff, there's a football game going on right now, an NFL game that was scheduled for 7 days ago. I think you could have a little bit of wiggle room, but not very much. Hey, thank you for the call. Some really good questions there. And let's check in with Chris, who is in Virginia. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, Tim Brando laid out a pretty scary scenario in the need last week and the need for additional revenue. With this scary, crazy things going on this year, what about just seeding the top 12 teams, 1 through 12, give the top four a bye, and then stage a made-for-TV event? Okay, that we just do nothing but generate a ton of revenue.
Yeah, Chris, I thought in this year of all years, you could have had some, you could have done something like that because it's not the normal situation. But the College Football Playoff Executive Committee, which is made of most of the commissioners and Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame, decided not to do that. So they're status quo people, and I don't know where what's. I mean, like the last caller. I mean, we are swimming upstream right now. Every week is a bigger challenge. If you listen to the epidemiologists, which a lot of people do, the next couple of weeks are going to be grim. So I would expect more chaos. I mean, somebody would say, I can't imagine us having any more. Well, yeah, it could get considerably worse in the next two. We're 2.5 weeks away from the SEC and ACC and Big Ten games, but as we get deeper into the month toward bowl games and the College Football Playoff, I would say right now anything is possible. And I hate to use that line, but it's true. Al is up next. Hey, Al, good afternoon to you.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
Doing well. Thank you, Al.
Good. I bleed orange and blue. I support my Auburn Tigers all the way. But when you have a three-star quarterback and a five-star quarterback, reason would say that probably the five-star quarterback was better than three-star. I think that it is time Mr. Green step up and let Gus and his offensive coordinator go, and let's start over. I'm waiting to see the A&M game this week, to see what conspires in that, but I really don't think that either one of them need to be down there now. They ought to go back and, coach high school football. We've got Coach Marsh from Pac-12, and he didn't have much luck.
Al, let me jump in here for a second. I have to say, outside of the LSU game, I haven't seen a whole lot out of the offense. I think this game is very important just in terms of Auburn having a last swing at bat. The Georgia game didn't go well. The LSU game did, but LSU is not an elite team. LSU is very likely going to have a losing record. And, the South Carolina game was hard to explain. So this is a chance to wash away that Alabama loss. I'm not sure it's possible, but you're up against number five team in the country, and a win here would calm people down. But I will say there is a lot of unrest among Auburn people right now. I don't think change is on the horizon, but unrest is here. And, Malzahn every couple of years seems to weave in and out of these murky waters. Hey, thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it. We've had a busy, busy show. We talked to Ross Dellinger and Heather about where we are right now with the CFP and the Big Ten and college football, and some other guests as well, including Greg McElroy. We appreciate you being a part of the show. We're not going anywhere yet. I'm not saying goodnight. We're just saying that we have 30 minutes to go. We hope you'll give us a ring at 855-242-7285. Back for the final couple of moments of this program right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome all of you back here. Gary is in Tuscaloosa, and you are next up. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
I got a couple questions to ask you. Is that right now the ACC, after this weekend, Clemson and Notre Dame are done until the ACC championship on the 19th?
That is correct.
Okay. What do you think about Sankey doing that? If now Florida take care of business this weekend, and they wrapped up the East and West.
Well, he is not going to do it. He has indicated today that that is not going to happen. And I think there was a little bit of irk involved in them. The bottom line is that the commissioner said months ago that we were going to have a 10-game season, and he reiterated that he intends to follow up on that. So it is a non-starter. It won't happen.
Okay. That was my only question. That's the only thing is, you know, the risk of injury playing at Arkansas.
There is a risk, but I think there's an integrity question as well. And he very the league very strongly believes this is where they are. And they all, you know, remember, too, that right now the SEC has three prospects for the playoffs. Nobody else is in that position, and he especially wants Texas A&M to have an opportunity, but his feeling is that in the games, I'm trying to remember what we would have Florida LSU on that final weekend, and Alabama Arkansas. Probably not a lot to learn from either game, quite frankly, but you know, that is where the SEC is. I appreciate you asking the question, and it's certainly a legitimate question, to say the least. How about George in Houston? Hey, George, welcome.
It's Joe, but how you doing, Paul?
Well, Joe, I apologize for that. I don't know what's happened to me here. Joe, great to have you with us.
Yeah, George will work too. Hey, listen, Paul, a couple of things. First of all, I heard McElroy earlier talking about BYU and about Cincinnati.
Right.
And I'm surprised that a guy who played quarterback in the SEC would be tipping the hat to those guys when they don't play an SEC schedule. And I think it's that time of year again when we have to remind the committee and everybody else that plays football that playing an SEC schedule has a lot to do with you know, the eye test. This business of you watch a team like Cincinnati play, the competition that they play, that's one thing. But, you know, when you play in the Alabamas, and for that matter, Auburns and Floridas, when you're playing those guys week in, week out, it takes a toll.
Yeah, I thought so. It wasn't McElroy. I think it was Heather Dinnage who talked about Cincinnati having to go play Tulsa, and I'm like going, so what?
yeah.
I mean, the SEC, I mean, even Vanderbilt heading toward a winless season gave Texas A&M a very tough game at the beginning of the year. They played well against Kentucky. I'm not making excuses. I'm just stating the reality that it's a very tough grind, and I think it's going to be interesting when it's all over. To hear what coaches have to say. I mean, we've talked to them throughout, but this is not a typical year because you don't have two or three weekends to basically take off when you're playing a directional school or a school that you know you're going to win by 40 or 50 points.
Well, even with COVID, if you got to take some time off, I mean, everybody's talking about how A&M wasn't magnificent in the LSU game.
Right.
I guess a lot of those people have never played LSU.
But, well, and I thought Jimbo Fisher said today when we heard from him, I mean, they had been off for 2 or 3 weeks. So, and the conditions were not great. I mean, what's so interesting is what LSU won that game last year by 50 points. And now we're quibbling.
Oh, they were strong.
Yeah, we're quibbling now over a narrow 2-touchdown win by Texas A&M over LSU. I mean, that may be. That conclusion might be one of the biggest shocks of this season. Hey, thank you for the call. Bill is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hi there.
How is Arkansas going to do against Missouri at Columbia, and they close out at Fayetteville against Alabama?
Yeah, it's a very difficult finish, Bill. And as great as this season has been in terms of reclaiming this program tradition and pride, and undoing all the mess that Bielema did in his final year and Chad Morris did in his two, this is a precarious ending. And I think winning Saturday is very important because the final weekend is not going to go well.
Well, how are they going to do next year?
Well, I feel really good, Bill, about the future. And, you know, I don't think we can heap enough praise on either what Coach Strink has done at Missouri or Sam Pittman. I think they've been great turnarounds. And you think about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I mean, the new coaches this year have been phenomenal. And, you know, Mike Leach, I think the jury may still remain out on him. Hey, thank you for the call. Bob is in Texas, and you're on the air. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? Paul, always love your show.
Thank you.
Loved it since before my Aggies were in the SEC. That's how long I've been listening to you on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
I am an Aggie, and Mike Elko has done a great job this year as our defensive coordinator.
He has.
We were barely able to hang on to him, I think, after last season. He almost got drawn away by a D1 school, and that's likely to happen again. And my question is, it's really more of a hypothetical for you, and I just kind of want to find out, you know, what your thoughts on this would be. Mike Elko, we can't keep him any longer. He gets hired away, and deservedly so. And Jimbo Fisher hires his good friend Will Muschamp to be defensive coordinator at A&M. Any way that might happen. I mean, he coached at Texas. We're not big fans, but he was a good DC for Mack Brown and was a championship coach.
Well, I think Will Muschamp, should he decide to work, will have multiple offers. You know, it's worth remembering, after he lost the Florida job, what did he do the next season? He went to Auburn as a defensive coordinator because he wanted to stay in it. He wanted to keep his hand in, and that helped him get the next job. So, you know, will he get another head coaching job? I would be surprised, but I haven't spoken
to him. He's got significant ties with Jimbo Fisher, and that's, makes me wonder.
No question. I mean, they were part of that national championship Saban entourage at LSU. And I don't know.
They were even roommates.
Here's what you'll learn when you get to know all the Saban assistants. They become very close friends because they have a common conversation about how difficult it is to work for Saban. But they all joke about it now. At the time, they were pulling their hairs out. But they're now. But they
trial by fire.
Yeah, he molded them into successful coaches for the most part. I don't know what Will's thinking about doing. Yeah, he may decide to sit out. He may not, but he will have a lot of offers. And I would think if Elko leaves, that would be pretty high on his list.
It would be a good vacancy. I appreciate your insight, Paul.
Thank you. Good question. One thing about Muschamp's been very quiet since he lost his job, which is probably smart. I'm sure he'll resurface here in the coming days, but he will have multiple offers. Let's take a break. Final one of the afternoon as we head into Wednesday night. Coming right back with much more. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.